You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
I greet you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I give thanks for this opportunity to share God's word with you. And thank you very much, Bishop Dunn, for this kind introduction and invitation and opportunity to share God's word. Today, as promised yesterday, I'm going to do the second part of reflection on the word of God from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Bishop Dunn gave us a first part with a great emphasis on prayer and Christian faith practices. Today, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul starts by saying, "Now to him all glory, all praise from generation to generation." Now he puts every emphasis, every focus on Christ Jesus. As Christ is the foundation and the head of our salvation and the source of our justification and sanctification, every focus goes to Jesus Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the work of the church is also to highlight and uplift the person, the face, the name, and the work of Christ. So Paul, after saying all things, he says, "Now to him be all glory from generation to generation." That word "from generation to generation" caught my attention. It is unstoppable. It continues. Now, if that is the case, then why do we read books like The Shift of Christianity from the North to the South, or The Death of the Church, The Passing of the Christian Era, The Weakening of the Christian Global Mission, The Disappearance of Christian Witness, The Absence of Christian Influence in the Church, on and on and on, while the declaration is from generation to generation? In order for that to happen, Paul is saying every glory, every emphasis has to be given to God. Why? Because he is able to do immeasurably more according to his power. Now, the other word that caught my attention is the word which says immeasurably. We, in our strategic approach and tactical leadership, we like to talk about measurable goals, measurable actions, while the scripture speaks about immeasurably great. Now, there is a great tension between this measurability and immeasurable actions and expectations in the word of God. If you take every organization in the world, they talk about measurable goals. The only institution that deals with immeasurable tasks week after week after week is the Church of Jesus Christ. How do we put a measure on the blood of Jesus, on the Word of God, on the grace of God, on the Spirit of God, on the impact of the Word of God, on the salvation of a sinner, on the forgiveness of sin? All of these things are immeasurable. We are a community of the immeasurable work of God. Everything we do is immeasurable. That's why our language, our faith, our expectation, our imagination has to be dealt with in such a way that it is immeasurable. You know, I have a timer right here. I'm rushing against time. That is a punishment to an African preacher. That's why we say he's able. He's able to do immeasurably great things that are hard to describe, hard to understand, hard to express. We're talking about the power of God's ability, of God, the things that are done by God himself. So Paul is honest in coming out and saying he's able. If God is involved in everything that happens in our life, that thing is going to be immeasurably great. That's why in this journey of the North American Lutheran Church, what God has done is immeasurable. 10 years in the Western civilization, a church that is strongly anchored in the Word of God, growing and growing and growing, 450 congregations, and keeps growing and imagining for more expecting and envisioning and planning for greater growth. That is simply the miracle, the work of God. The first day we were forming the office of the North American Lutheran Church, Bishop John and I were putting tables together, going to Costco and Walmart, buying chairs and tables and assembling them. I asked Bishop John, are we going to make it? Is the church, is the North American Lutheran Church going to grow in North America? He said, just watch. Our God can do immeasurably great things. We cannot measure it, but we will witness it. Paul says now, the power of Christ is at work within us. This is a powerful statement. When I read this, it raised more question than answer to me. But before I go to the question, let me deal with three powerful statements. Paul talks about the power of Christ, not the power of human being. Everything after resurrection is all about the Holy Spirit. In the book of John 21, all the way to the book of Acts chapter 1, Paul continues after that. Jesus was saying, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Why is that this much emphasis? Because the sole mission of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus Christ visible, acceptable, honorable, and do what Jesus does in our life. So Paul is saying, now he's talking about, in order to for us to experience this immeasurable work of God, we have to have a place for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. The only hope of the church and the only hope of Christians, the power of Christ. And he says in the second part, this power of Christ is within us. It's amazing. This power dwells in us. And I was thinking through scripture, what does it mean for the power of the Spirit to be within us? And it took me back to our baptism. All of us listening have baptized or are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That day, we became the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is within us, not to sleep. Paul says, the power of God is within us, at work, dynamic and active, working until today, and it continues in the future. The Holy Spirit is busy awakening the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Now, if Paul says the Spirit of God is within us at work, then where is that work? Where do we see it? Why is the church dwindling? Why is the church dying? Why is the church struggling? Why are people depressed, stressed, distressed, distracted? Where is that work at work? What is the problem? Now, Paul says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Now let me point at the problem and try to find a solution. The problem is now we are asking less and we are imagining less. Paul is saying, now he is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Since he said more than all we can ask, that means we are asking less and we are imagining less. And now that asking and imagination talks about our prayer life and our vision. Our prayer and our vision. We need God-sized prayer and God-sized vision. Therefore, Paul is now challenging us to completely change the content, structure, and level of our prayer. He's also asking us to stretch, expand, and the extent and the expanse of our imagination. Now, what is wrong with our prayer? Number one, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. Most of us don't pray at all. If you ask people, do you pray? I really don't pray. That's why we don't have. The second problem is you ask for the wrong things. While Jesus was teaching in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't ask for what you eat or you wear because God already knows your need, but seek the kingdom of God. So some of us are asking for the wrong things. The third problem is we, with our prayer, if we ask for things that are way less than what God can do. That's why Paul is saying, ask for more than what God can do, more. So we are asking less. The answer comes from Ephesians 3. The fourth problem is The problem in our prayer is we don't want to learn how to pray. One of the wisest, smartest things that came out of the mouth of the disciples is when they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Have you ever taken the time to learn how to pray? In my prayer life, when I was in seminary, I used to take 3-4 hours to pray and at least fast once or twice a week. And one of the problems in my prayer life at that time was I was doing most of the talking and less listening. As I grew in my spiritual life, I started to do less of the talking and more listening. And I need to learn to take time, teach me how to pray. Luther, in his great, great leadership skill, one of the biggest things that he wrote during Reformation was teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Let's take time to learn how to pray. The fifth problem in that prayer life is lack of intentionality. If you ask any stranger, any person on the street, do you pray? They will say yes. And if you ask them when I eat, when I'm in trouble, when I walk, when I'm in my car, where is the intentionality? Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and talk to your Father in secret, intentional, set apart. My dear brothers and sisters, our bishop has given us Vision 2020, and more is yet to come. In every congregation, we are in challenging times, in challenging seasons. This is a time that requires an intentional prayer time. Now, Paul is saying, if we can ask and if we can imagine. If we take biblical personalities like Moses, Moses imagined the freedom of his people. So he went straight to Pharaoh and asked for it. Esther asked the salvation of her people. She went straight to the king and asked for it. Nehemiah wanted to the reconstruction of his nation. He went straight to the Persian king and asked for permission and resources, and it was granted. If you can imagine it, you can ask it. And if you can ask it, you will receive it. But the expanse of our imagination comes from the Word of God and from prayer. That's why Paul is giving us, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. The amazing, the beauty of Scripture is it is his power working in us that makes the church the most powerful institution, unstoppable. That's why we are boldly declaring visions and strategies during this coronavirus pandemic. While people are thinking about shrinking and slowing down and slimming and becoming smaller, we are talking about getting bigger and adding congregations and training more people and reaching out. Why? Whether it is the Roman Empire or the communist persecution or the coronavirus, the Church of Jesus Christ is unstoppable because of his power working in us today. Let's just fix those two problems. Never ask less and never imagine small. We need a God-sized prayer life and a God-sized vision and imagination. And that comes as a blessing from the Spirit of the living God. And may glory go to Jesus from generation to generation forever and ever. And with this word, I pray our convocation to be blessed in this upcoming year, where so many things are uncertain, when so many things are up in question for the United States and the rest of the world, and for our denomination and congregations and families. May God help us to ask a God-sized question, to imagine a God-sized vision, and giving glory from generation to generation, from time to time, to Jesus Christ and to him alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.